listening to Rage Quit Radio with Mike Brown, Rich Morrow, Dennis Lee, and Nathan Starwell.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 29 of Rage Quit Radio. This is Mike,
Rich,
Nathan,
and Crispy.
And Dennis Lee is dying the death of a thousand paper cuts as a professor in college right now, and may his brewing experiments lead him to fruition and drunken stupor that he may survive the semester.
And share.
So, folks, actually, now that I think about it, this is the first time in a while we've actually had four of the five hosts on the same show. So,
did we promote Crispy?
Did I miss that?
I don't think that... I still don't count.
Let me guess. Mistakes were made.
Yes.
It's just the soundboard.
Okay. Crispy is not actually here. It's actually Dennis. He has laryngitis. He's just pushing the buttons on the soundboard. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about Mace, which for us is upcoming, but you will hear this after Mace has come and gone, and we'll have heard several episodes of Rage Quit Radio almost live. Chris Brown will be handling hosting duties once again, this time from Mace, up in the Queen City of the South, Charlotte, North Carolina. And then we're also going to get Crispy and Rich's views on Exigence. Last two episodes, you've heard me and Nate talk about Exigence, and we're going to get some other opinions, may go over some of the theme forces on this edition. And a tournament happened for us at Planet Comics earlier this week. Two people played in that, and we'll hear a little bit, not a whole lot, about what went on in that tournament. And matter of fact, let's go ahead and we'll get that out of the way. You two both played in the tournament, and by you two. Fantastic Radio. Crispy and Nate both played in that tournament.
I would have played in that tournament, but I had family duties.
And I had work duties, so I wasn't there to do anything in regards to the tournament, except show up at the end when all the cool swag was being given out.
So Crispy made a face at me because I said family duties. I would like to know why.
You said duty.
It's real mature, Crispy.
That should be another one for the soundboard. Yep. You said duty.
You said duty.
How did the tournament go for the two of y'all? What did you play?
I think we ended up on opposite sides of the standings.
I was
like,
literally
like complete opposite sides of the standings.
You could have said spectrum; it would have worked as well.
Well, I know for a fact Crispy wasn't last.
I wasn't last. I was not last. But that's because I got a bye.
A win is a win.
Did you lose every round?
I did. I lost every round.
So wait.
There's only three rounds.
There was only three rounds. There were going to be four.
Because there was a play down.
Oh, yeah.
That occurred, and the guy who played down lost.
Because it was Kyle, right?
It was Kyle, yeah. On that topic, Kyle's actually having a really good day. Kyle's playing Retribution, and I think it was the first time that he probably played some of those models, like, at all. And he'd been doing, like, a lot of theory crafting and stuff like that. Round one, Kyle beat Ryan Taylor, and he was playing...
Wow.
He's playing, like, P. Severus and Double Adjudicator.
P. Severus is, like, allergic to...
Kyle wasn't playing Raven, I don't think. Mm. Kyle played, like, Kalissa.
Was it about Nature Strike Force?
No. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But the thing was, even if he was playing Strike Force, Double Adjudicator just kills the Strike Force.
Yeah, I guess
you just true. Launch enough AoEs in that direction, and they'll all die.
I walked in for a few minutes while the tournament was happening, and I saw Ryan Taylor running Double Adjudicator, and like my only thought was, what does this even do to Lucant? And then I walked away from the table.
And from what I understand, Ryan Taylor made the play mistake of shooting Kalissa with a spell. And I think he had like a jack walk up to Savvy and kill him.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle won round one, and then played Crispy in round two.
Yeah, and I immediately died to the Strike Force. So
I was told fastest caster kill on the day.
I think we had a 25-minute game total.
Yeah.
So, and that was him taking a turn, me taking a turn, and then me dying. And he took everything else first so that he could try to kill pieces and didn't kill anything, which was kind of lucky. And then the Strike Force went, 1, 2, 3, Haley's dead. So...
Who are your two casters, Crispy?
Three.
Who are your three casters?
Siege, Haley 1, and Striker 2.
Okay.
And you dropped
Haley versus Rhett.
I dropped the wrong caster against every single match. I mean, I played Chris Brown as my bye game.
And he dropped the wrong caster in the
And
bye,
I did. Then. And I dropped the wrong caster on my bye. Although, what is the Gator caster who has a knockdown feat?
Barnabas.
So he was playing Barnabas, and I had Riker 2 and
I see that you played against the youngest of the Warbrights.
And he cast his feet and knocked everything down except for Stryker, who he was trying to knock down so he could kill him. But it didn't matter because Barnabas just walked up and killed Stryker anyway. Just spent all his fury and just killed him. I played Ryan Taylor my last round, and he just ate my face with Harvey. Yeah,
that was not a pleasant game to watch.
Those games with crispy aren't.
I had a really poor day.
It's okay, man. I wasn't even there, so. You're doing better than me.
And you played the guy that ultimately won the tournament in the last round. You played Chris Grope, who's...
Yes.
Or is it Grope? Group?
I think it's Grop.
Grop?
I think it's Grop.
Can we call him Grope? Chris Grope?
Chris Grope.
Well, when both Chris's are on the show at the same time, I've basically just resorted to calling Chris Brown the Penguin.
Who is Chris Brown?
The Penguin.
The Penguin is.
Yeah.
Chris Brown.
CB.
Yeah, the black guy.
We should just call... We should just start calling Chris Brown Cobblepots.
Oswald Cobblepot.
Oswald Cobblepot's on the show tonight.
Anyway, round one I played. Oh man, I forgot his name. He's one of the Charlotte guys. It's not.
Okay, was it Simon or Sergio? Was it Sergio?
It's not Simon. It's not Sergio. It
the Legion guy.
It was the Legion. He was playing Legion.
Okay. Yeah, I've never met him, so I didn't recognize
said the
him.
First time. That was the first time he was at the store. I
want to say maybe I've seen him before, but I don't know if he went to. He said he had not played in a while, and it definitely looked like he had not. Like he was really, really rusty.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were, like, several things that he did that were just, like, rust or new player kind of, like, tells.
Yeah.
I had this pretty awesome trick against Typhon where he'd move Typhon up. I was playing E-Virus against him. I'd move Typhon up, and he sprayed one of my Sentinels and killed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to feet move with E-Virus and moved a Sentinel into melee with Typhon. But only with the reach, so Typhon was engaged, it couldn't shoot his other shots.
Sure.
And so I shut off all his shooting with that.
Mm.
We had a pretty grindy game. Like, I didn't play a short game all day.
Yeah, I noticed. From the game I saw, the whole damn thing looked like a grind
fest. Your second round. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I had just, like, a huge grind fest all day. But against him, I eventually ground it out. Like, I had to kill... I killed, like, two Scythians. I killed the same Scythian, like, twice. Because Pythagoras defeated it back, and then I killed Typhon, and then eventually I just killed Thagrosh. Like, he was out of beasts to transfer to.
Yeah.
And then round two, I played against Evan. We had a really good game. I'm going to go on record saying the terrain was kind of bullshit. There's a big lake in the middle of the table, and I'm playing against Gators.
I believe so, I made a comment about that while watching that game.
I had, like, by the end of the game, I had, like, three Griffins that were just inert in the middle of the lake.
You do realize that tables are assigned randomly,
yeah,
right?
No, I understand. I'm just saying, round one, I played against Legion, and there was a forest in the middle of the table. Round two, played against Gators, and there was a lake in the middle of the table.
Sounds like excuses. So,
I won those games. I made the joke at the tournament that I only thrive in the face of adversity. If you give me a fair fight, of course my opponent's going to win it.
If you're not the underdog,
yeah,
you're fucked, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
But anyway, so Evan and I, we had, like, I don't know, because he was playing Gators, and I killed, I don't know how many Gators.
Hmm.
He had 18. I didn't kill 18 of them, but I killed, like 12 to 14 of them. The amount of damage done, like, actual boxes marked in the game was probably insane. It was probably in, like, 120 or more. It was a huge amount of damage done. Now, eventually I pulled it out. I got lucky because he threw the Rassler at Vyros and missed the knockdown attack. Missed the death roll. So I survived that assassination attempt. He needed a boosted 9 to hit me, but he missed it. So he only hit me with, like, one other attack, and then... Or I think he hit me with 2, but he dropped me down low enough. After that, I was able to clean up the game. He couldn't get anything to me. Well, he threw, like, two sacrificial strikes at
I would
Vyros.
Like to point out at this point that my game was over in 20 minutes. And I spent the next 2 hours going between the different tables. Every time I came back to the table, it didn't look like the game had moved with Evan. And
I went first, so I ran. He went with Rask. Moved up and feeded, and then, like, I ran to engage because I didn't want the Gators to charge, like, my jacks or anything like that because I don't want the bonus damage. Dice minus 5 or whatever, they're probably fine, but, you know, it's going to take them forever to kill. Yeah, basically the entire game took place.
It probably didn't help that the first 10 minutes of your game was us talking about all my hate crimes at the previous party. Yeah,
that's true, too. That did slow down the game a little bit.
So sorry. Should be noted that Mr. Morrow is 1 year older now and several brain cells lighter if what I've heard about the party is anywhere near accurate.
The truth comes out when you're drunk.
Yeah.
I might be racist. I'm kidding. I love Mexicans.
Yeah, and then, so that was game two. Game two was an absolute grind fest. The game three, I play against Chris, and he drops Rice, and I drop Assyria. And I win the die roll. I like to go first. He's playing the Rice tier list,
With the ogres.
Yeah. You get, like, double ogres.
And they get advanced
and
deploy.
And they get advanced deploy.
And
really good.
Turn one.
Yeah. Really good. So I didn't want him to have all those advantages because, like, I feel like if he went first, I would literally fight the whole game on my side of the table. So,
yeah.
I ran some stuff. Turn one, he goes. He moves up. He kills, like, two Major Strike Force because the ogres can assault you all the way from across the board. Turn one.
Yeah.
He kills, like, two Mage Hunters and engages, like, a third. I go with Assyria. I pop feet. I take a 30-minute turn. I leave Rias at one health.
Okay.
And he goes. He pops feet. He takes a 25-minute turn. He leaves Assyria at two boxes.
Okay.
My turn, I go.
And the first thing you said was, man, I wish Assyria had a melee weapon.
Well, no. Assyria was fine where she was. Because I hadn't actually lost a whole lot of my army. I had four Mage Hunters left. And I had, like, all of the Invictors. Because he just ignored them and went for Assyria. And Hyperion was above half health. Because he got Hyperion got charged by, like, Swordsman plus, like, a Scythian or something like that. And they didn't do enough damage to him because he was inviolable resolve. So, all I have to do is kill the Scythian because it's got rapport on it. And Hyperion handles that easily. Hyperion is, like, dice plus four or whatever, just kills the Scythian. So, the only thing that he has to transfer to is a Shredder. He had transferred some damage to that Shredder the previous turn. So, the Shredder had five boxes left. I forget that I could move Assyria in melee because he managed to get a rake on Assyria, and at two boxes I had a very real possibility of just dying to the free strike. If he took it, he would need like an eight to hit me and I just lose the game. Silas Wishnet was still alive, so I could Arcane Secrets move Assyria so that she was still in melee with the rake and be within 12 inches of Rias, and then I could hit Rias with Blinding Light, and that would give me the extra defense penalty on Rias that I could then go and make my shots easier. Because if she's at one and he's got six boxes, I don't have to hit her with a whole lot to just kill her. And so I ended up taking the shots with the Mage Hunter Strike Force before I did that, and I only made one of those shots, needing nines. Mm. And if instead of nines, if it had been sevens, a lot better chance. A lot stronger chance to hit. And then the Invictors went, and then I did the Assyria thing then, because I realized that I could do it. And then the Invictors went. They needed eights, and I think I missed every single shot with them.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a shame.
So, before we get on to talking a little bit about Exigence, what I think we really want to talk about a little bit is Mace, which is right around the corner. It is, like I said, this weekend for us. For you guys out there, it's a week or two old at this point. But I will be at work, so Mace is not an option. My job finally hired me in. Yay! Woo! Yes, thank you. The downside of that is it meant that all my vacation time I built up as a temp disappeared. So much for Mace. I kind of figured that was going to happen anyway. So I will be here, which means I will hopefully be somewhere where I can get the Almost Live stuff posted pretty quickly. Knock on wood. Anyone who's been watching the feed lately and seen how quickly I do post things. Who in here is going to Mace?
Me.
Just Nate.
Just me.
Just you? I could have swore they were going to kidnap you, Chris.
They were
going to
try.
I was
but then I offered him boobs and liquor.
Oh, so that's the alternative to Mace, apparently, this weekend is.
We're going
to
be doing boobs and liquor this weekend.
Okay.
There's going to be definitely booze. Maybe not boobs. Well, there will be boobs.
There will be, yeah. Dude,
I'm looking at two in the room right now.
We should just have a reality show, Crispy. Two boobs in a bottle.
So, wow.
Named it.
You're heading to Mace?
Yes. Me and Evan are going up for the day. I won't be playing anything on Friday and Sunday, obviously, because...
You're just going up for the invitation.
Going up for the invitational tournament, that's it.
The hope is that Nathan goes, wins that, comes back for boobs and liquor with us.
I don't anticipate coming back before midnight.
Yeah.
Based on how long the invitational goes.
It's a party.
Right, no, I understand, but, yeah. It just depends on if I'll be in the mood for liquor after
boobs
that.
And liquor?
The last I saw for the invitational list, something on the order of 24 or 25 people were going to be
so
in
it's
the gonna invitational.
It's a minimum of 5 rounds.
So. Yeah, ish. So, yeah.
Now, minimum of 4. Like, I guess it depends on if somebody plays down.
Yeah.
And,
or if everybody even shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Question mark to you, sir. What are you taking to Mace?
Taking Rhett. Two lists I like. I like Evirus and I like Asterion. I like both of those. I've played this pretty heavily. I've got this fine tuned. I really like it. The third list, I think I'm gonna go with Raven. I don't like that list outside of the Signar Protectorate.
Not all.
Certain very select Hordes casters. Any Hordes caster who has like base armor 14 or less, 15 or less, I like it against them. But the thing was that I feel like Asterion was already doing well against those kind of lists. And I feel like Virus does well against anything with a lot of armor or anything kind of grindy. If my tournament experience on Saturday taught me anything, the Virus list can handle multiple medium box infantry. I mean, Triple Posse is like the formula for multiple...
Yeah.
So if it did well in that game, outside of some shenanigans with like a Rassler getting thrown, I think I... win that game handily. Like, it's never... I just don't play into it the next time.
Right.
So, I'm gonna go with Raven, because I don't like Ron if I can't take specialists, because if I get...
You can get hosed in a matchup.
Yeah, if I get outguessed and my opponent drops... Like, Lampson is probably playing Gorshade 2. If Lampson drops Gorshade 2 and I'm playing Ron, yeah, I lose the shit out of the game. There's a 100% chance that I lose. There's no way I can win. So,
but you're playing into the face of adversity.
Right. No, I mean, I'd make
it. Will win.
Yeah. But
he says he won't.
Yeah, so if he drops Gorshade 2, I'd lose shit on him.
Or like if somebody plays Circle Double Druids.
Yeah. Double Druids is ugly. You know, there's all kinds of stuff.
I can't even count the times on my hands that, like, me and Nathan would just be like, hey, playing it. And he'd be like, dude, what do I play as my third list? And we would go through it. And, like, every time we went through it, it would be a no one. Everybody that wasn't the two casters he was playing.
Yeah.
So we would just throw something together.
Because here's the
play that day.
Here's the problem. Asteria, Raven, and Ossian all want the exact same things in their list, the exceptions being the jacks that they take. Asteria wants Hyperion. Raven likes Hyperion. But Raven, at the same time, because of the way her feat works, wants more shots. Like if I cut down the points that I take on Jax and I take, like, Stormfall Archers or something like that, instead, you know, that gives that list the ability to crack armor if I need to. And then Ossian is, like, the armor-cracking version of Raven, where if your opponent's playing Butcher 3 or something like that, you just melt a heavier caster using Ossian's feat. But I feel like Asteria does the things that both of them do because of the way her feat works, and she also lets you ignore stealth. So you can shoot everything off the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's just the third list for Rhett right now. I don't know what to do.
Well, and part of it is just, like, as a meta, we're so used to specialists, and they were just like, no specialists this year.
Yeah.
And that changes the game significantly.
It does. It really does. As a PG, I've had the chance to look over stuff for 2015... which we will not divulge on the podcast until they, you know, give us a green light and tell us we can start talking about stuff like that. But I can tell you some of the stuff I've seen in there. Most of the fundamental things, like specialists, the time limits themselves, things like that, they haven't mucked around with too much. I was very pleased with that. They've streamlined some of the scenarios. They've added a couple of new wrinkles. There's some standardization that has been made that I like that will make competitive play more standard wherever you go.
I heard the thing about the way they were swapping objectives around.
Right.
I mean, that sounds really cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Without going into specifics, I think that's really, really neat. Because that way you can make lists around scenarios Those objectives carry over to other objectives.
Idea is, it's a very interesting concept, the way the objectives
are. That way your army is actually fighting over something that's actually important to them.
Correct.
As opposed to light artillery.
So.
No.
Which, for the record, God bless Chris.
He took it.
He brought two light artillery. Two skater crews, and then wound up in the scenario where it actually mattered.
And they got took off the board on the first turn by a shot.
Yes.
But still. Still.
It was really funny.
I'm happy that he brought them.
I told him, he was like, I'm thinking about playing skater crews. I was like, you're going to get on that scenario, and something's going to shoot at them and kill them both before it matters.
Quote. End quote. And then it happened.
I mean, I've been around the block.
So, let's take a look. Let's start fooling with exigence here. We'll go through the theme forces, I guess, here first, because I've been playing.
We should mention that after thinking more about the Beast Pack rules in that book, I think Privateer Press really dropped the ball on making those very clear.
Hmm.
For instance, Evan was pointed out that if a Beast Pack charges...
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's ambiguous whether you force the leader and the whole pack is to charge, or if you have to force every dude in the pack for them to all charge.
All share.
Because right now, the only way a war beast can charge is if it spends a fury. I don't know if it's covered in there or not, but apparently those rules are pretty ambiguous. And just reading through it, I remember thinking that given enough play situations, I could come up with 100 different things that, you know...
My inclination... Because of the fact that they have one fury for each beast, or for each model alive in the unit, my inclination would be you force them once. Because they are a unit in the sense that they all charge.
So, I want to know, something I had kind of, like, dicked around with theory crafting before this book launched. If I charge, because I haven't had much time with this book at all. My extent has been, like, 5 minutes before the podcast tonight.
Right.
So, if I charge a beast pack into, like, a caster, and I get one there, can I just force that one repeatedly to make more?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's...
And they only have, what, four models?
Yeah, they're all... But the thing is, they all have, like, really, really low mat, and they all have...
Right. I mean, so there's, like... But they have,
and
like...
And they have, like, bonuses where if they're all in melee with the same target,
right,
then
they
get...
Pack Hunter.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you stop and figure that these are five model units, which means they are roughly the equivalent... Four... isn't there one that's five, I thought?
I think they're both four.
They're both... Okay, so they're four. So they're the equivalent of a four Fury Beast.
Yeah.
You're not going to spend... It makes absolutely zero sense that each one of them would have to spend a Fury in order to charge, because then they're dumb. They're just neutered at that point. So...
I tend to agree.
Yeah, I mean, it makes more sense as a unit. They get the order as a unit, which means they force once.
I mean, yeah, I mean, if you force once, charge them all into something, they all get an attack, and then you just force
Does specifically state here that they cannot run or charge during... models in the Warbeast pack cannot run or charge during the pack's activation unless they receive the run or charge order or are compelled to do so as part of a game effect. The unit's leader can only issue the runner charge order while in the control area of the battle group's controller, which leads me to believe that it is the leader who is effectively forcing to give the order.
Right.
Yeah. Or, so, I mean, it doesn't even make a mention of forcing in that, and it's an order, as in a unit, which gives orders.
But they are still a war beast, so they're still going to have to be forced, I would imagine.
Pack fury and fury points to go in there. But yeah, but anyway, that's my point. That's my point. Not that I think that anybody from Privateer Press is ever going to listen to this specific podcast.
Yeah,
they make a really high quality product, but I feel like they dropped the ball in this instance on this.
It could have been a little more clear. Yeah,
could have been a little slightly more clear.
The reason I was saying that is because has it dawned on anybody on the podcast yet how brutal it is to run that beast pack with Tyrant Zadesh, like the mini warlock?
Yeah.
Because you tag team them, and then you charge run, you get one on the caster, the other three in base, so it's like plus five to attack.
No, I think the Scorn, like, I think the Scorn Warbeast pack is a serious deal. Like, any of those casters that wanted something to jam with that they didn't actually want a unit with, like, they get these Warbeasts instead. And they have, like, 10 hitboxes. Sure, they've only got like 12 armor and 11 defense or something like that.
But you can heal them.
You still have to do 10 damage.
And they can be healed.
Yeah.
No, that's not a big deal.
Yeah, no, not even a little bit.
Yes. Yes. And,
So.
I'm just saying, what is the mat on those dudes?
Scare pack?
Yeah.
Mat 5.
Alright, so they're mat 5. So if you get all 4 in base, the one hitting is plus 3, so he's mat 8. plus Gang Fighter from Zadesh. He's at 10. What's the pal strength?
8.
8, and it gets plus 1 to that for each guy, too?
Well, it's, yeah, plus 1. Swarming Scarabs is, this model gains plus 1 cumulative bonus to melee, attack, and damage rolls for each Aridus, War Beast, or other model in this unit engaging the thing. So, it also includes all of the new heavies.
That puts it in an 11, as well as like Scorners covered in Beast buffs.
Yeah. Well, and as before the podcast, I mentioned, like, Zal really likes these guys, because you can last stand that unit of War Beast, and then they just go ham.
Yeah, dude, if you last stand them while they're under Zadesh with Gang Fighter plus that, they just kill casters.
Yeah.
Time to build Scorn again.
I mean, that was one of the things. I've never really liked the aesthetic of Scorn, but all the stuff in this book, awesome. I love it. I love the whole bug.
I personally think Xerxes 2 is the best caster in the book.
Well, let's start talking about some of the stuff for these casters. Nate and I went over the book in depth over the last couple episodes, and so now we're going to talk about the theme forces. That's something we skipped over. So we will start with Borka, Vengeance of the Rimshaws, or Rimshaws, or whatever the hell it is.
Rimshaw.
Rimshaw?
Yeah.
You reckon? Maybe it's Rimshaws.
It's Rimshaw. Rhyme as in...
Vengeance of the Rimshaws. Okay.
The Vengeance of the Rickshaws.
Yes. Borka, Vengeance of the Rickshaws. God, I hope Dennis doesn't listen to this episode. War Beasts. Troll Blood, non-character War Beasts, and Rock. Units. He can take Krill Warriors.
I don't know why they have Rock on that, because I'm pretty sure Rock has special issue with Borka, doesn't he?
Probably just for clarity's sake. Why not? Krill Warriors, Krill Stone Bearer, and Stone Scribes. Cavalry units, and units with AD. Troll Blood units with AD. Same thing, Troll Blood Cav.
It's probably because, I bet you somewhere in this tier, Rock is a requirement for a benefit.
It is.
It makes sense if he's not listed.
Okay.
Yeah. Solos, Fellcaller Hero, Sorcerer, Whelps, Cav Solos, Solos with Advanced Deploy, and Battle Engine is the War Wagon. So Tier 1, reduce the point cost of Trollblood Cavalry models and units by 1.
That's good.
Tier 2, you have to have 2 or more, and I've, you know what, this is the second time I've seen this so far, I like this, 2 or more model slash units with AD. Where it's not units, it's model slash
units. The
new
Fire Eater dudes are AD, and I think they're perfect for this list.
Friendly models and units can begin the game affected by Borka's upkeeps.
Nah, he's got like 2, right?
Yeah.
1? 2.
These spells and their targets must be declared before either player sets up their models, and you don't pay Fury to upkeep them on turn 1. 2. Your battle group includes Rock and 1 or more Winter Trolls. For each War Beast in Borka's battle group, place a 4-inch AoE anywhere within 20 inches of the back edge of Borka's deployment zone after terrain has been placed before the other player deploys their army. These are Snowdrifts. Snowdrifts. I could have swore I've made these rolls up before for a tournament. Snowdrifts are concealment, and models without immunity cold consider them rough terrain. I made up Snowdrift rules for a Christmas tournament once. It didn't do the thing. It was just rough terrain, period.
I won that tournament.
You won the second one, yeah. We're going to be doing it, I think, this year. Christmas Chaos is actually going to be at Planet.
I haven't received my reward for winning the last one yet.
Yeah, that might be one of the reasons it's going to be at Planet. Tier 4 is the army includes 1 or more Trollkin War Wagons. Models in your battle group are +2 speed for turn 1.
That's pretty good. Rich is convulsing.
And Rich is throwing up in my floor as we speak.
Alright, I'm going to start listing problems with this tier. The first one is you have to play Borka 2.
Wow.
Borka 2.
I don't mind Borka 2.
He doesn't have enough upkeep spells, so I mean...
Right.
He has 2.
So, like, that benefits... terrain benefits are rarely useful.
They're poop.
Ever.
Unless
having
like,
to take Warwag. Having to take one is poop.
Right.
At least it's the tier 4 benefit.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. This is the first thing we're going to rank these tiers like between 1 to 10. I give this one a 1.
I've seen worse. Most of them were in the rep book. At least it's not asking for 3 units of something. Let's see here. But overall, no, I mean... Tier 1 is cool just because it reduces the cost of cav stuff.
I agree. That's a good benefit.
Yeah. Tier 2, you've got two upkeeps, one of them really worthwhile. Needing rock and winter trolls, I'm with Nate. Terrain benefits are occasionally useful, but not overly so.
And, like, Borka as a caster, he's going to be up in the thick of things. So yeah. He's not going to hang out in, like, these snowdrifts for concealment.
I got a polar bear.
And then having
wish
to take...
I had a coat.
Yeah.
Having to take the war wagon to get the +2 speed does seem a little on the but at the very least, the war wagon is a cav model. So at least you didn't pay as much as you normally would for the
day. That's true.
Okay,
that's 8 points. That's it.
Alright, so legitimate score. I'm going to give it a 2 out of 10.
any tier benefit that gives a speed boost, I like a lot.
And speed boost and free points. I like both of those.
I like both of those things.
I still think the things that you're going to get those benefits are not.
I think it's subpar. I would give it a 4.
So let's do the math. To get tier 4, you have to spend... 8 points on the war wagon, like 10 points on rock, another 5 on a winter troll. What do you gotta take?
He's gonna take 2 units of advanced deploy guys, right?
2 model or units.
Can he take skinners?
Yes. Okay. Trollblood solos with AD.
So there's this 2.8 AD guy, but he's gotta spend, 27? 27
at
points.
A minimum.
27 points minimum to get tier 4. And I realize there's other tiers like that, but the benefits far outweigh these benefits to me. So I'm giving it a 2 out of 10.
I give it a 5.
I mean,
that's more than I'd give it. I would give it a 4. I think it's below average.
Crispy?
I think you don't play it past tier 1, so...
Well, we gotta write it, man. It's our new thing.
Ratings are dumb.
Who do you think we are? Chain Attack?
No, but I'm rating these tiers.
Okay. I would give it a purple.
Purple is the best color you can get in elementary school. I know that.
I think it's a strong plaid.
Red is the worst.
So, moving on to Braticus Thorl the Rune Carver. And his theme force, Wold War. Yep, I know.
You ready for Wold War 3?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
War Beasts.
Circle.
Circle, non-character constructs. Units. Stone Wardens and Wold Stalkers. Reeves of Ouroboros. Sentry Stone and Mannequin. Shifting Stones. Wolves of Ouroboros. And Death Wolves. Solos, Black Clad Wayfarer, Gallows Grows, Reeve Hunters, and War Wolves, and he can take the Celestial Fulcrum. Tier 1, increase the FA of Shifting Stone units and Sentry Stone and Mannequin units by 1.
That's so insane.
You get your third Shifting Stones.
It's actually legitimately insane.
Tier 2, you have to have 1 or more units of Shifting Stones.
Okay.
Done.
Redeploy 1 model or unit after both players have deployed, but before the first player's first turn.
That is insanely useful if you're going first, especially.
Yes. Yeah.
You can bait and switch. Do the old bait and switch.
Yep.
We call it WoW, you hook them.
You gotta hook them.
In Tier 3, you take 1 or more Sentry Stone and Mannequin units. The Sentry Stones begin the game with 3 Fury.
That's actually pretty insane.
That's good.
It's pretty insane.
And Tier 4, the only living model is Braticus. Get a Wold Watcher in Thorol's battle group free of cost.
Since he has synergy, that's also insane. It's basically like saving 5 points. Here's the problem. Gal's Groves are living. The UA for Shifting Stones are living. The Reeves that are in this list, living.
Yeah.
Werewolves, Death Wolves, living. The Celestial Fulcrum, it's got living dudes on it, but fortunately it's a construct, so you can still take that. And I don't even know if you take the construct, take it with him.
This list is Braticus, 3 units of Shifting Stones, Sentry Stone and Mannequins, some amount of Construct War Beast.
Yeah, and it is.
And I like that list a lot. I'm going to give this one an 8. I'm giving it an 8.
You get a free... I don't know if you will. I don't know if you take a Wold Wrath with him.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think to deal with infantry spam, you need to build a spam rift. So I think you actually want Wold Wardens in this list.
Yeah.
You want at least one Wold Guardian for the Animus.
Yeah.
I feel like Megalith is good in this list, but he's probably
can't
needed
take
elsewhere.
Him.
Non-character.
So, you want a Wold Guardian, you want lots of Wold Watchers, and you want a few Wold Wardens. And Shifting Stones. I think that's a really good list. It also helps you with all the Fury management. The list just kind of, it goes into itself really well.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate you can't take the Combat Shrimp. I think the Combat Shrimp would go well in this list.
Yep. And well, you can take it, but you could not get the free World Warden.
Because the druid is living.
Yeah.
But what I do find, or the free World Watcher, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry, World Watcher.
What I find very interesting is this is far and away the cheapest tier 4 I've ever seen.
Right. You have to spend...
It's literally 7
5 points. You have to spend 5 points your tier 4.
Yeah. So, very interesting.
It's more about not what you spend, but what you don't
spend.
So
the Sentry Stone and Mannequins are increased by 1.
Yeah, so
and
you could run...
So you could start with 2 of them that start at 3 each.
Correct.
Which is pretty good.
And, like, it's really good turn 1, because you can just have all those Mannequins. Because the Sentry Stone is what you're playing for. The Mannequins just make a line of forest, so your army cannot be seen.
Yes.
Which is a huge boon as well.
Yes.
So we're up. I do like that Theme Force a lot. That looks fun.
8 out of 10.
I think it's how you play them.
Yeah.
I think if you try any other method,
It's like Evail. You don't play around a tier for a reason. I think he's going to be the same way.
And it's the same thing with Evirus.
I like Bradigus a lot anyway. So I'm even 8 out of 10.
Yeah. I would say he's khaki. khaki goes with everything.
That is not true.
Largely.
Khaki doesn't go with mustard at all.
Those are damn near the same. Anyway.
I meant the condiment. Thank you.
Oh, well, fair. You know what else doesn't go with mustard? Black lights. So. Especially,
I thought this was a semen joke.
especially if you thought the stain actually came out.
What?
So, next up.
Poker face.
That was good.
Xerxes, Fury of Halak.
Halak.
Footsteps of the Giants.
It's a cool name.
So, Scorn...
Doesn't really well for the tier, but it's a cool name.
Scorn non-character warbeasts and Tibbers. Pain Giver Beast Handlers, Scorn Cav, and Tyrant Units. Tyrant Solos, and the Siege Animantrax.
Oh, God. Quit saying the battle engine at the end. They're ruining it for me.
They keep trying to push those battle engines.
All right. Tier 1. Reduce the... gets better. Reduce the point cost of huge base models by 1.
Yeah.
I guess luckily that it points are okay.
Yeah. Let's see here. 2 or more tyrant model slash units. That's the second time we've seen him say that, phrase it that way. For each tyrant model slash unit, you can redeploy 1 model slash unit after both players have deployed, but before the first player's first turn. That lets you bait and switch a lot.
The Dragoon is a tyrant, isn't he?
Tyrant Raneem.
Yeah, so you could take the
He's
Dragoon.
Fucking armor piercing. He is good as shit.
Yeah, you could take the Dragoon, and he has leap, doesn't he?
Leap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could take the Tyrant unit, the Fearless.
Yeah, you want that unit in your army anyway.
Yeah. Because it's like 3 points, right?
Yeah.
Tibbers, you get +1 on your starting roll.
Right.
That's good, because you're going to play Tibbers.
Yep. And 1 or more Siege Animatrax Battle Engines. The Siege Animantrax begins the game with 3 rage tokens.
1 out of 10. Listen, the only way they can make a Siege Animantrax worse is if it was a mount for Zerkova.
It starts with 3 rage tokens. It was a boost, right?
Yeah. The problem is, you're starting your army on tilt too. So it's kind of like you have 3 rage tokens as well. Siege Animantrax. That seriously, that's not a very good tier.
It doesn't give you any benefits.
Any
really.
Good benefits?
Yeah. You get +1 to your die roll.
It gives you rage tokens on your siege and I may try, but you're not playing.
We will skip over that interesting attempt, and we will move on to Absalonia, the daughter of Everblight, and her theme force, Death's Wings.
So before we get into this, it's Legion, so it's probably a really good tier.
Okay.
Because you're gonna take all the shit you were gonna take anyway.
Legion, non-character war beasts, and Proteus.
10 out of 10.
Proteus.
Proteus is actually her war
beast. It's right there,
man.
Proteus. Strider units and Legion units with flight. Forsaken.
Grotesques.
Yeah.
Hey, man, grotesque. I'll bring them back.
Forsaken, Strider solos, and Legion solos with flight. Battle engine, which I think this is actually interesting that they phrase it this way. It gives you the indication that we're going to get multiple battle engines for every faction eventually.
Try again on the battle
engines.
Some
people need to get stuff wrong a few times before they learn.
Legion battle engines with flight, which I'm fairly certain the Thrones got flight, right?
Yes.
Okay. Also, fun fact, they're probably talking about Thanks 3. You can take Thanks 3 and have Miscellanean 2.
Actually, it's probably because of Lilith, because she's a battle engine, right?
Right, but you can't take her
you
in a Miscellanean
2.
Yeah, right, but I'm just saying. That way, they phrase it that way.
Listen,
so people aren't trying
to
like...
If you can take another caster in this tier, it is the best tier, because they are free and give you more points.
You know, now here's a stupid question. No, seriously. You play a 100.2 caster game. What if the other caster would logically fit into Caster 1's theme force?
I have no idea.
Does the whole damn army still considered, like, could you do that? Would Lilith 3, since she's a battle engine caster, assuming she has flight, I doubt she does. I don't think
she does.
Not
have flight.
She does not.
But let's assume for the moment that she did.
She does.
Would she be the second caster as long as everything else fit? Would you still technically be playing Absalonia's theme force?
I don't know.
No.
I played a 100-point game one time. I'm pretty sure I'm still playing it. That's all of this game's are.
I've played a 250-point game. You can shut your horn mouth.
I seriously, my respect for you has gone down tremendously.
He's done it more than once.
I'm not that. You know
what? No, the stupid shit about the thing.
Okay.
Flying models, tier 1. Flying models are +2 speed on turn 1.
That's good.
That's
insane.
It's real good.
It's just insane.
It's fucking stupid.
One or more units with AD.
That's the Striders.
Units in this army are AD. Just period.
That's really good.
It's probably really good for grotesques.
Except you're not playing units with Bisolonia, so...
Well, you're going to play, like, probably one unit of grotesques. They're, like, 6 points. They're 6-10, right?
They're 4-6.
Yeah, 4-6. So it's 6 points for 10 of them, right? So they get +2 speed. They're speed 6. They get speed 8. They're just in your opponent's grill.
Right.
You don't care.
But they're
and
not
AD.
AD.
They get AD.
Right.
So you take a Strider unit or whatever.
13, 16, 29. First turn, they're 29 inches across the board.
Units in this army are AD.
So you have to play Striders in that case.
Which is whatever.
So that's 13 points of her army that wants to be beast.
Three or more different war beasts. War beasts in Absalonia's battle group can use their animi during the first turn of the game without being forced.
It's whatever.
This
is not a bonus.
Yeah. And they cannot be forced to use their animi that turn. So it's actually they can't optionally force to do it. And the army contains one or more archangels. Reduce the point cost of huge base models in this army by 1.
I think you take this tier 2 or whatever gives you the AD.
Units. I think you play Abyssalonia with 3 Rattle Boards. Because, so, like, she, me and Corey Hoffman talked for 30 minutes about this list. And so, like, you play Abyssalonia 2, and you take 3 Rattle Boards. You just put out a punishing amount of fire, you block off infantry, and then when she does her magic tricks, Rattle Boards will kill you in melee. So, it's like the perfect beast for.
We move on.
I give that one like a 2 out of 10.
I actually think just off the strength of tier 1 and 2, it's above average.
Yeah, I don't think you go to the Archangel. Because I don't think you put Archangel...
I don't think you go to tier 3, to be honest with you. I don't think you necessarily run 3 different war beasts.
Nothing's going to beat World War 3.
Old War.
We are up to Jaga Jaga, the Death Charmer. Or as this name would be,
Yaga,
Jaga
Yaga
Jaga and the Voodoo Dolls.
Yaga Yaga.
Whatever. War Beasts can take Minion Gator Man non-character War Beast, can take Bog Trog units and Gator Man units, Feral Geist, Throgs? Bog Trog solos, Croak solos, Gator Man solos, Wrong Eye and Snapjaw, and the Sacral Vault.
Her tier list is basically
everything
Gators
can take. Yeah.
Everything in the faction.
Okay, so we've established that she can... It might
she's
as well,
in fact a Gator caster.
Swamp Gobbers and Totem Hunter were not in there.
They weren't.
Okay.
It probably would have been easier to say Blindwater Congregation minus.
Yes.
And list those
If you play her tier, you don't get the Blindwater Congregation bonuses, right?
No, you can't take 3 Posse.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's been in every tier so far.
The army, tier 1, reduce the point cost of Sacral Vault by 1.
That's 8 points. It's fucking good. So
yeah, that thing is stupid. So.
Include 3 or more undead model/units. Undead models gain advanced move.
Bone Swarms.
Boker.
Yeah, Boker and Shamblers.
The Sacral Vault is an undead model, is it not?
No.
It's a construct. Okay.
Yeah,
Feral Geist. Isn't Feral Geist?
Feral Geist are undead, yeah. And they're good for scenario play.
Yeah.
Tier 3.
What was the bonus for that?
Undead models gain advanced move.
That's really good on Swamp Shambles,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Tier 3. The army includes two or more models slash units with magic ability.
Boker does double duty there.
Yeah. The Croc Duck has magic ability. So.
Mm-hmm.
Friendly model slash units begin the game affected by Yaga Yaga or Jaga Jaga or the Voodoo Doll or the Death Charm or whatever her name is. Her upkeep spells.
That's good, because she actually has a decent amount of spells.
She cares about those.
Yep.
And you have one or more sacred vaults. Your deployment zone is 2 inches further forward.
That's
good.
Really good.
It's a good tier list.
Alright, so it's no World War III, but it's close.
I think it's pretty good. You would have a hard time convincing me to not play her in tier.
No, I mean, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
We said the same thing about Bragg. This is the thing. I'm going to put it on par with 8 out of 10.
As much as I would hate to do it, I think Bradicus is probably close to that. I would make this a step behind it, and the only reason I would do it is because of the faction it is. I have to be honest. It's still
well,
a
if we're doing it by faction, then Legion's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't give the Legion one a 10 out of 10. It tells you you have to take an Archangel.
Sarcastic.
So, I feel about Archangels about the way you feel about a Siege and a Mantraxes. So.
All right, well, let's hear now, this big tier. Because if you could take infinite meat grinders, it is a good tier.
So let's see what this one is. Helga the Conqueror and her theme force, Curtain Call. Okay. I now suddenly want to get a pig army and paint them all up like gold dust. Nothing. Nobody.
That's a wrestling thing.
I know.
It's a wrestling
gold dust.
Okay.
It's a wrestling
Warbees.
I was going to go for Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this reminds me of the Kill the Rabbit episode.
Okay.
She basically reminds me of
Kill the Rabbit.
Kill the Rabbit. Kill the Rabbit. Anyway.
I don't know what comes next.
Kill the Rabbit. Minion Pharaoh non-character war beasts. That is probably the name of this episode now. Pharaoh units. Ephrit Scouts. Pharaoh Solos. Gundren the Wanderer. Rorschach Brine. And the Meat Thresher.
Yes.
This is the first time you said yes to a battle engine.
Hold on. Here we go. Reduce the point cost of meat threshers by 1.
10 out of 10. I build this list.
Tier 2.
Get on eBay. Buy it all.
Tier 2. Include Maximus. Maximus and Pharaoh Slaughterhauser units gain AD.
Yes.
Tier 3.
Touching myself right now.
And we're back to gold dust. Helga the Conqueror's battle group includes two or more heavies.
Okay,
Your deployment zone is 2 inches further forward.
Check.
You have one or more meat threshers.
Yes.
Plus one to your starting roll.
Yes. All right.
So you make
this
thing
list is tier is legitimately awesome.
So that's a nine.
Two meat threshers. And you put Maximus on a meat thresher, and you deploy him further up, and you go first. So you run your meat threshers at the opponent.
Yep. There's no way to shoot all that off the board, because you got the slaughterhousers that they have to worry about.
And the slaughterhousers are up the board, too.
And she has dash, so you're like straight.
God, I want this list. I want this, and can I just play this and World War III?
You're just going to buy tiers.
Yes.
Yeah, I really do like that list. Let's face facts. I don't think anyone's going to set the world on fire with it because they got to play two other pig casters.
And I don't think it compares to the new Arcadius tier, which is legit.
The thing is, like, that tier and that Arcadius tier make pigs legitimately able to play the tournament now.
Yeah,
okay.
And not just auto lose.
See, I haven't seen too much of the
and
Arcadius.
And then Carver.
List.
Carver.
Oh, my God.
Did we not talk about that?
No, we haven't talked about Arcadius.
Oh, my God.
So, what?
Yes.
A shield guarding
Who's got it?
It's in the Nook Corner. I don't have the Nook Corner.
Crispy.
But,
let me find it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
No.
This is like 2 months old now. It's insane.
Have you seen the timetable I post these episodes on?
Listen, what you need to know is that what are problems with Pig Beast? They don't hit often enough.
Yeah.
And they don't hit quite hard enough.
Sure, gotcha.
He takes Goraxes, which fixes both of those problems, and they get Shield Guard. So now Arcadius can go, I'm going to walk up the board a little bit. It'll be it.
I can actually get in range of Cripple and Grasp things now, because I can Shield Guard any stray shots that come my way.
Man.
Because you just take Goraxes.
God.
The tier list is a legit thing. Yeah.
And, like, because of his feet, like, the Gorax primal thing is not as big of a deal as it is with, like, Circle.
Yeah.
You don't just lose that beast for a round. You essentially get a frenzy attack. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if it's like you need to do that. You frenzy with them, but then you feet, and they frenzy
they
again,
frenzy
and you pick
the
target.
Yeah.
I want to see this noise.
Okay.
Alright.
Right there. Math science. No, beast of, nature of the beast.
Nature of the beast. Okay. What do we got here? Pharaoh non-character war beast, bone grinders and slaughterhousers, targ, and no battle engines. Okay. But I can't take meat thrashers. Anyway.
Well, it's okay, because you can take Goraxes.
Okay.
Which turn?
Yeah, Arcadius' battle group can include Gorax light war beasts. Plural. And they gain shield guard.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
Circle wishes Gorax has had shield guard.
Yeah, they do.
You have to, you take Targ, you get 2 inches
fucking
further forward. Yes,
that's for sure.
5 or more war beasts. Well, you're going to be taking fucking Goraxes.
Yep.
Each Gunboar, Roadhog, Warhog in Arcadius' battle group get, add 1 Razor Boar to the battle group for free.
Right. So, all these war beasts you're taking, you're getting free little war beasts.
Yeah.
Those things tear ass when they're primal.
And you have to take at least 2 Goraxes, and you can run on turn 1 without being forced.
That's quite, that's barely.
That doesn't matter as much. The important thing here is that this tier, plus the tier we just previously spoke about, plus Carver, who is just good,
mm-hmm.
means pigs can, I'm not going to say win every turn they play, but they can have a
well, you
chance.
Got, you
a
got
a
competitive
round.
Game. I mean, that's the thing. I think that's all everybody's asking for, is just a competitive game.
And if you're playing minions the way you're supposed to, I think minions are a legitimate tournament threat at this point.
Yeah.
Because you're playing that
you
ridiculous
play
Helga
tier. You can play Rask tier.
And you can play Helga or Jaga Jaga. You have a bunch of good builds now, is the thing.
And they're doing different things. They're not all doing the same thing.
Right. Like, Arcadius is like, you want to attrition? Let's attrition.
Yeah.
Because he's also got psychosurgery. So he just hizzles the dudes.
Yeah.
And then that Helga list, I need so many meat threshers.
I think they're fill on.
I'm going to go home and thresh my meat over this.
I very much remember saying, because before we started, we told Rich, just go ahead and skip to the meat thresher in the book. And he started reading it, and you can see the look on his face, and he's like, okay. 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 Okay.
I believe this was the exact thing.
Yeah. At which point, I commented that it was Trollblood's best battle engine.
Yeah. Like, it's so, like, seeing the concept art for that, I just assumed it was going to be a silly pile of shit. Okay? In exact words, how I would describe it. Look at this silly piece of shit.
I mean,
right? And then I saw the rules, I was like,
It looks like something that they just stole the I love you, Privateer Press. God bless you. Please don't take my coin away.
It looks like an orc battle engine, or an orc battle wagon.
It looks like something they stole out of Battle Wall. Or a Blood Bowl, rather.
It looks like a cross between like a Death Roller and like the Skaven Doom Bell.
Yeah, it looks
a couple other things smashed together.
Yeah, but it's so like I would still use the word silly piece of shit to describe it. It's so silly.
Yeah,
but like I mean silly in like the wow.
Yeah,
like you don't want to Crix. Hey Crix.
Right, if you can get the charge with it. If you get the charge with it, you're fine. If you don't, then...
Right. With all they're your slaughterhousers in the way that are going to die to the Crick's charge, it's fine.
But, so, what we have discovered here is, out of Exigence,
meat thrusters is the other thing we're playing.
We have 4 worthwhile theme forces, I think. Out of
at
6.
Least worth exploring.
Worthwhile, didn't say good, said worthwhile.
I didn't say anything.
You took a deep breath. And
free
then,
country.
You made that face.
And then we have 2 that have, you know...
Listen, they had me at World War. Like, seriously. that is the single coolest tier name I've ever seen.
If I get a brag, I guess I think I can put that together and try
Dude,
it.
Dude, I'm legitimately... I've been thinking about digging around with the Horde's Army again, because it's what I do. And, like, I was kind of torn between Scorn again, or Circle again.
Yeah.
World War, man. Like, it's my problem with Circle is I never could find the third list I liked.
I'd have to sit down and look at the points for it, like, how the points break down.
But in current meta, Braddock seems really good to me.
Well, I'd have to see like how exactly how many heavy beasts you can fit in that list, plus how many world watchers you have.
So while we're talking, I'm going to be building that list.
While we will allow them to explore, folks, and not take up too much more of our on-air time doing that, because I think we have pretty much, well, we have threshed enough meat for one episode. So
there's no such thing.
So, folks, until next time, where we will hear...
Wait, that's it? We're just over?
Yeah, it's we're past an hour.
That's it? We didn't talk about anything. I talked about threshing my beard.
You're just not satisfied?
I'm not. This is the worst... Well, I'm not going to say that.
I'm sure we've recorded...
It ranks pretty low with my sexual encounters.
Well, folks...
And that's saying something.
Anywho.
All right, put it in some trash.
Folks, until next time when we will hear a little bit about Nate's explorations at Mace and hopefully not be thrown off of Potomatic somehow, some way. This is Mike. That's Richard.
Nathan.
Crispy.
I'm Rich.
We'll see you next time on Rage Quit Radio. You've been listening to Rage Quit Radio. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/RQR podcast. You can visit us online at ragequitradio.blogspot.com. Listen to us on Podomatic, ragequitradio.podomatic.com, or find us on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can email us at ragequitradiopodcast@gmail.com.